Download the free Shoutcast app and then search for the Superhuman channel.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Monsanto has shortened more lives than any other sinister regime in our history.
The war against GMOs wages on.
And someone posted on my Facebook and said, you can't be serious about that. You're comparing them to the Nazi regime? And I said, I compare them to any regime because, number one, they're not done yet. And number two, we don't even know. There's no way to do a head count of the number of lives that have been shortened because of the things that Monsanto has promoted in this country and abroad.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. Listen weekdays at noon.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We originally had a first hour show planned to talk about the role of progesterone and protecting women from getting the flu, but the guest literally fell out 45 minutes before the interview. So I contacted my good friend, Coach Wade Johnson, and he dropped in here. So he's going to be on for the first hour. And then the second hour, we're going to talk about stable colonization of the probiotic bifidobacterium, which is now showing in science to be very, very important, especially when we talk about aging well. We get a lot of it from mother's milk. It's in Thrive Advanced, by the way. But taking it may not restore levels in your gut. There is some individuality to the receptiveness of your microbiome to bifidobacteria. We're going to get into that later in the show with Dr. Jens Walter. But my first guest is Coach Wade Johnson. How you doing, Wade?
I'm well. It's good to be with you, Carl. It's been a while.
So I got to tell this story, right? So literally, I reach out to you 45 minutes before showtime. I'm like, and Wade is a very busy guy during the day. He's got a very, very a busy job. And I'm like, hey, can you come on? And you're thinking, I can do that. Let me get some of my guys in place and take care of some things, and I'll free up the time. And so there was really no time to discuss what are we going to talk about. And I thought, what is Coach Wade Johnson an expert at? What could he stand up in front of a room and talk about with great credibility, great passion, and great accuracy? And I'll just make that the show. And I thought, oh, I know what. Staying strong as you get older. Which technically you're an expert at. So
well, like I try hard. I think it's like you and I spoke briefly before the show. I think that's one of the things that it separates me from the crowd. You know, are people that are in our age bracket that are still fairly strong. Is, you know, it's just like in any situation, it's like your work environment, you know, half the battle is showing up. And, you know, and for me, it being the coach and the gym owner and stuff like that, it makes it imperative. But a goal for me has always been, I don't want to be the old guy that sits in the corner and just barks at everybody as to what to do. You know, I still need to be able to walk the walk. I mean, talking, it's not enough. And it's nice to look back and reflect on my career, especially when I was at my biggest and strongest, you know, but that's just not ever been enough for me, you know, and so well, far has continued not to be enough.
Well, so we have new listeners all the time. The show is growing again. It's just amazing the number of people that I'm finding out listen to the show. So we have a lot of new people coming to the show who may not know your pedigree within the strength sport game. So talk about your career bests as a power lifter, and then we'll talk about some of your later Olympic lifts. Just give us a summary. Back in the day when you were competing in powerlifting, your best bench press, squat, and deadlift were what?
My best bench press in competition, not training, my best lifts in competition were a 700 bench press, 1,040 squat, and a 700-pound deadlift.
Now, these are the numbers of an elite athlete. For those of you who are just listening to Coach Wade Johnson for the first time, I know Wade for, I don't even want to say how long now. And he's been involved in mentoring and training for his own powerlifting career for as long as I know him. We're talking about superhuman strength. But today that's not the objective, right? The objective is that you are passing the baton to other people now. You're training a lot of younger athletes. But you, like you just said, it's important for you to stay strong too, right?
And I'm still competing. Just to give you an idea, and we've talked about this before, you know, the last couple of years, 2014 and 15, both Melissa and I really focused as far as competition on Olympic weightlifting. And then it was August of last year that I competed in the World Cup in Dallas in Olympic weightlifting. And then this year in July, I was very injured, and we can go into that at some point if you like. I competed at Relentless, completely just belt only. No knee wraps, no squat suit, no bench shirt, no nothing. And then 8 weeks later, I competed in a strongman competition to qualify for Masters Nationals next year. And so not only is it important for me to be strong, I mean, I'm nowhere near the size nor have the strength levels that I did in my early and mid-40s. But, I mean, I'm still training to be as strong, you know, as I possibly can.
So what adjusts mentally, first of all, or are there any adjustments? Do you continue to look at the sessions, the workout sessions, the same way as you did before? Or now that you are older, have you tried to tame your training down a little bit?
I would say here are the things that I think have helped me stay in the game. The years of training that I've done, that, you know, the conditioning and what I felt like was smart training, I think those are the things, you know, that have kept me in the game as long as they have. But now, you know, I lost weight, and the game of powerlifting is starting to change. It's evolving where we're going away from the supportive gear like, you know, I always used when I was competing at my highest levels. And so, you know, that's kind of new. But I think the biggest thing is I spend a little more time with warming up and, you know, making sure that, you know, everything is, you know, is where it needs to be. As you do age, and I've been very, very fortunate not to have injuries that required surgery or, you know, took me out of training for any extended period of time. But, you know, eventually wear and tear, just the, you know, daily grind of life, let alone training, you know, at a high level, those things tend to accumulate. So you have to pay attention to those things. And so I backed off the throttle a little bit as far as some of the training weights and the percentages and simply the volume. And some of that has been just simply because my focus has changed and my responsibilities and priorities have changed. I'm not able to train every set by set, you know, alongside my training partners in the training group. I have to spend a lot more time coaching. And so I don't have quite the outlay of time that I used to. So I temper those things, you know, with whatever my priority is for my training to make sure that I'm able, you know, to coach my guys the way that I'm supposed to. But I think the biggest thing that has had to change, I've always been a big proponent of warm up, but I do even more now than I used to even 5 years ago.
So one of the things that you alluded to at the beginning of the interview was you try real hard, you work real hard, you keep getting in there, but you've had injuries. You've got to have aches and pains, right?
I wake up with them. Yes.
So give me an idea, a snapshot of the areas of greatest distress for you. Do you have pain in your back, your glutes, or are they specific injury sites?
They're specific injuries. I have my right knee was injured not by strength sports. You know, I was unloading plates out of a truck from running the worlds for the WPA, APA in 2005 and misstepped and twisted my knee. Didn't, you know, it was tender, but it didn't seem to be a big deal at the time. And I just, you know, did a couple of light weeks of squat training after that, and then went on my way. And here and there, you know, it's come up, you know, where I'll tweak it, you know, or it acts up. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, by and large, it doesn't bother me, but occasionally, you know, it'll peek out there and let me know that, hey, you know, this thing's no longer 100%. And for a while, after I did the meet where I squatted to 1040, my legs were just not, you know, they just weren't the same. So it took a while for me to recover from that. So that, you know, that's one I always have to pay attention to. Then I have a left shoulder. When I dieted down to the 308 weight class, I think that was 2014, to total elite at that weight class, I injured my left shoulder squatting of all things. And I went through rehabbed it and got back to, you know, benching my normal weight. And that's when we started doing the Olympic weightlifting training. And probably the beginning, I had done a qualifier for nationals at the end of 2014. And early in 2015, re-injured the shoulder training. And it's just one of those things that I have to constantly pay attention to. And, you know, I do a lot of lightweight conditioning for that, you know, for the shoulders, just to, you know, to keep it healthy enough to continue training. And then an old injury, I have on my left side, the SI joint area, I have had issues here and there just pulling myself completely out of alignment. And it's about 3 or 4 weeks before I competed at Relentless Minnesota this year. And it's about 4 weeks before the meet, just warming up, just 325 pounds came out of the hole and felt it go. And it was hard to walk for about 2 or 3 days. And it was just something to, you know, the cumulative effect of training, of all the travel we did at that particular time. You know, you're sleeping in hotel beds and you're in a car for 4 or 5, 6 hours, you know, traveling someplace. It just finally caught up with me. So those are the three areas that I really have to pay attention to all the time.
So let's do this. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want you to give people some sage advice. They're aging. We all have injuries. We try not to have them hold us down. We have to show up every single day anyway. So what do you use as motivation to show up every single day, first of all? And then we're going to talk about a mantra that I learned from you, and that is the only bad workout is a missed workout. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Supreme Radio.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson about something he knows very well, and that is staying strong as you get older. It gets harder. Just motivating yourself, especially when you have aches and pains, just motivating yourself to show up is sometimes 50% of the job. So what do you need motivation, or do your disciples motivate you to show up there because they're walking in the gym and you got to be down there?
Well, I don't need a lot of motivation, but I would be lying to you. There are times that it's a grind, and I have found for me that my training is always most effective, and you've heard me say this more than once, is if it's goal oriented. And I think the thing that keeps me going as far as me personally is do I have a number to shoot at? And my son is there training most of the time when I'm training, so it's like, it's still a big goal of mine to go to have him have to work to get to the point where he's lifting the weights that I am. And, that's always been a big motivator. He and I aren't competing against each other, but I want the bar to be high for him.
Right.
And, and then for me, I still want to compete. I still want to, if I can't hang with the young guys, maybe there's some records in the 50-year-old bracket or a title, or something to shoot for. And that's what the Olympic weightlifting was, last year. And that's what this, the returning back to strongman. That's what that's about. Can I change the discipline and train these three different, types of sports and, stay strong, keep from being seriously injured, and can I podium, can I win, so that for me is a very strong motivator. And not to mention, my biggest motivator is the team of people that show up every morning and show up every evening, and that are messaging me, on my phone from all over the planet, that are training and following, my programming and my coaching. And, you know, that keeps me, that keeps me, not only does it keep me grounded, it keeps me very motivated.
So it sounds to me that the first step for somebody out there who is concerned that they may not stay as strong as they can is to set goals. And these goals should be achievable in months at a time so that you can set new goals and keep chasing them. But it sounds to me like if you're just getting up in the morning and your goal is just to show up at the gym, that's probably all you're going to do. So you got to see past that, you're saying, and create goals for yourself. And it could be adding weight to a particular movement. I recently started setting a goal for my. It's funny, I don't think about it that way. It's not like I wake up and go, I need a new goal. But I guess I do this without thinking much about it. But I, you know, I remember when I was younger, I would be able to do 3 to 5 sets of 405 for 8-9 reps. I can't do that now. I mean, I can't do it because I haven't been training for it, number one. Number two, I'm a little worried about my hamstring. You know, I tore the left hamstring and didn't have it reattached, and three attachments tore. And so, you know, I've come to the realization that I'm breakable over the past few years with a tricep tear, a bicep tear, and a hamstring tear. And so I guess there's some sort of governance going on in my mind, maybe. So I thought, you know, I think that I could do 405 for 10 singles. And so that became my goal. I started doing on leg day, I alternate, but the days that on leg day that I open up with deadlift as a hinge movement, I load the bar with 405. I do a single, and I wait 1 minute in between singles. But now I've squeezed it down to 40 seconds. And my goal is to keep squeezing that rest period in between down until at some point in the future I'm doing 10 reps with 405.
I think the big thing is that you have something
right
to work for. And I think what happens is people go to the gym and they work out, and that works for them. And that's great, and I'm all for that. The mechanics for me is if I go in the gym and just train, I tend to not push any harder than I have to.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, you know, I'm kind of beat up, so why don't I just, you know, I'll only do 4 sets of 8 in the bench press. I'll move my grip in and do 225. You know, I did that, a lot of that, as prehab work and rehab work. And, you know, then you're not pushing, you know, or you're taking too much time. You know, once I got into the throes of competing again, at, you know, because it was August to July, you know, it was almost a year of training with no meet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, or no competition. And so I have a tendency to kind of pull back on the throttle if I don't have something to shoot for. And so I need that goal. I need, you know, there, it creates urgency for my training. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. But I think you got to find a way, you know, something, just showing up is not enough. Now it's half the battle, you know, and fortunately for me, you know, I live, you know, over the top of my gym, you know, and Melissa sleeps next to me, and she's the one that's, you know, has her alarm set for it's stupid early, you know, that we get up so she can train because of her schedule. And, you know, so, and that's a motivator. You know, if she can get out of bed, you know, before she has to go to work, you know, it's, that alarm goes off at 4 a.m. almost every day, Monday through Friday. And that's tough. And as you get older, it gets tough. And our days are really busy. But I think if, it, you know, just anyone out there, you have to find something. You got to give yourself a target, you know. And I always say to break that down into a short, a medium, and a long-term goal. And, you know, that way you have a way of obtaining something in a short period of time, you know, and that's enough of a dangling carrot to make you commit to those medium and long-term goals and get in there and get busy. I mean, that's the thing that keeps me thriving.
So if someone were to wake up one morning and just not feel, and I guess what I want to do is I want to take a break now. I have another question for you, because I know that your mantra is the only bad workout is a missed workout. But right. Is there ever a real deviation from that? And when you come to listening to your body and you're getting older. So let's do this. Let's take a, before we go into the break, plug your websites and Facebook page, please.
You can find me and Team Ogre on Facebook, and if you look for us on Instagram, we are at team_ogre_powerlifting. And one of the lifters on the team, Annie Fry, she takes care of that. I wouldn't know how to do all that. And you can reach me if you're interested in the gym or interested in training and programming online. You can reach me at teamogre@outlook.com.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Coach Wade Johnson. Stay tuned.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Isolate Whey Protein is the perfect complement to your muscle growth, fat loss, or fitness program. Packing an awesome amino acid profile, Muscle Gauge WPI is easily digested, lactose-free, sugar-free, and fat-free. The Pure Whey Protein Isolate used in Muscle Gauge's WPI is absorbed fast, transporting amino acids into muscle fibers to begin the repair and rebuilding process. Pure WPI delivers pharmaceutical-grade whey protein at a price you can afford. Don't pay more. Don't settle for less. Go to MGNstore.com today.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Okay. You were the first person who taught me this saying, and it served me well my entire life. That is, the only bad workout is a missed workout. But are there other deviations from that?
For me personally,
yeah.
Not really. I mean, I it's just one of those things where it's like we talked about earlier. This is not a hobby for me. And not only is there a great amount of financial investment, there's a huge investment of time in my life and all my energy. So for me, you know, the first part of my day, almost always 7 days a week, there is some sort of physical activity going on in that gym, for me personally. And, so I occasionally it happens, you know, now on the weekend, like if I'm exceptionally tired or beat up, you know, then I may not go downstairs and do cardio on Sunday. But by and large, you know, I'm doing something almost every day. But my main training, Monday through Saturday, I just don't miss.
Right.
And again, for me, because, you know, now that I've qualified for Strongman Nationals, I competed a couple of weeks ago at a qualifier, and now everything I'm doing, you know, is geared towards maintaining my powerlifting, because I'll be lifting it relentless next year, and training for this strongman it's going to be nationals. And even though it's going to be, you know, the old guys, I mean, these guys are really good and they're really experienced, and I learned a lot doing the competition. It had been a while since I had done a strongman competition. So it's one of those things where now as you do get older, you know, if there's an injury that's preventing you from training, that's one thing.
Right.
But for me, when I've, you know, because I've had to train through these injuries, I always try to find a way to train around them. You know, it's not what I can't do, what can I do?
Right.
You know, even if it's just sitting there and I'm pedaling the bike, you know, at a moderate pace. You know, because what I've learned is that if I do nothing, then I guarantee the results, you know, and that's nothing. And so, you know, and if you're really sick, now it does, it occasionally happens. I think you remember early last year.
Right before a competition?
It was probably 2 weeks before the Nationals in Los Angeles. That I had gotten, apparently what we attributed it to was a spider bite, and got, you know, a pretty nasty case of cellulitis.
So
for probably 3 days, you know, from, I couldn't train. We first thought it was the flu, which was odd, because I mean, I do not get a flu shot, and that's a whole different conversation, and nor am I going to get a flu shot.
Right, right.
And, you know, but by and large, I just, you know, every now and then I'll get a little under the weather or you know, an allergy situation living here in Middle Tennessee. But I just don't usually get sick. If I get a little under the weather, I usually just power through it. And, but I was really sick. And, you know, then it got dicey when my white blood cell count got so high. But, you know, I so rarely take an antibiotic of any kind or any kind of medication. I responded real quick. You know, and about 10 days later, I got on a plane and competed. You know, but that's really a more of an extreme situation. I think by and large, unless, you know, you have something, an injury that would really prevent you, you know, or is, you know, at our age, we know people that through no fault of their own, you know, get hit with a health issue.
Right.
But again, you know, daily, I don't miss, you know. Okay, I occasionally won't train when we go on vacation, which is once or twice a year. I generally try to give my body a break. But in the, you know, in days past, especially when I was competing at the highest level, I didn't miss. I trained. You know, if it was Christmas Day, I trained. Now I'm at the point in my life and my career where it's like, all right, you know, we need to take this time off, and, you know, but again, I'm still very much the advocate, you know.
So what do you tell a guy, an older guy, right, comes to you and says, "Look, I don't want to be a powerlifter. I want to remain strong because I know that strength contributes to my vitality and my health." Quote, what's the word I'm looking for? Longevity. My health, long. You know. So in other words, I want to stay as healthy as I can, as long as I can. And we know that strength training contributes to that. So what do you tell them to inspire them to look at their training not like something that they do, but something that is standard in their day-to-day life? Just like flushing the toilet after they go tinkle. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
how do you convey to somebody, okay, this is how you need to think about it?
Well, I think I use myself. That's the only thing that I know for sure is myself, is how I've responded. And you know, the body is probably one of the most complex machines, you know, out there. And it is made to be in motion. And so not only do I use myself, but I have other clients that are older than I am. And the daily routine, you know, I've got a woman that we've talked about before. She walks daily. She trains three, sometimes four times a week with weights with me. And, you know, is a fast approaching 60. And this is a woman that, you know, goes to the beach in a bikini. And you would never say, you know, for her age, she looks good in a bikini. You'd go, damn, she looks incredible.
Right.
That's what you would say.
Right.
And those are the things that, you know, even if you don't ever want to compete, which I have several people that train, you know, that they have no aspirations of competing, but they've learned that if you don't make that investment, it has to be a very consistent thing. You don't have to do something every day. You know, I'm a gym rat, and it's what I do. So I'm going to be down there doing something, even if I'm on an ab machine doing some crunches or something like that. You know, but the person that can invest three or four, you know, days a week to training, the body is made to be in motion, and we have experienced this personally, both you and I and other people, where when you see people, when they become sedentary, when they sit in that rocking chair, and that's when they get up from bed, they have breakfast, and they're retired, and they sit in a chair, those people fall apart. It's like the house that is lived in for 20 years, it gets abandoned, and then you drive by it a year later, and it's falling apart.
Right.
You know, we are made to be in motion. And once we stop that, you know, that's when things start tightening up, and that's when you become immobile. And, you know, that's the difference in you know, you've seen the people that, you know, a woman that's bodybuilding at 70 and then a typical 70-year-old that does nothing, and how they look and how they age
right.
is dramatically different.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing. And you know, the truth of the matter is, so I have lots of pain in my lower body. In fact, I had fantastic results experimenting with Kratom when I was in California recently before they banned it. Well, I don't know if it's
right.
banned yet or whatever, but what the Kratom did for me was made me realize how much pain I live with day in and day out. Glutes, quads, IT bands, calves, and feet hurt me all the time because of this compression in my lumbar spine, which I am addressing, and I do notice some things happening. Like I'm getting feeling where I didn't have feeling before in my legs because I'm doing a lot of inversion work, literally hanging
right.
from my ankles, 245 pounds hanging from two little ankles. I mean, my ankles are black and blue, quite frankly, because I do it a few times a day. But I do notice the changes. But the Kratom allowed me to live pain-free, and I thought, my God, I forgot what it's like to not have pain. I mean, it's just been a constant friend of mine. But when
right.
I train legs, the pain goes away for the
right.
whole next day. Like, it doesn't hurt me till maybe the 48 hours later. And whenever I show up at the gym, I always question whether or not I'm going to be able to do the work because my legs kind of feel weird. They feel weak. You know what I mean? They feel like, are they going to respond when I start to deadlift? Are they going to respond when I start to do my power squats? Are they going to respond when I start leg pressing and leg extensions and leg curls, which I do all of those, and hip thrusts typically in a leg workout? And the strength is there. It never lets me down, which is a wonderful feeling. But more importantly, for the next 2 days, I have no pain in my lower body.
Well, I think that you can attribute that to the activity. That's,
yeah.
You know, I have people that'll tell me my back hurts, but it never hurts when I deadlift, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, we need to look at not just your workout, you know, what other activities are you doing? You know, is that indicative of a weakness or whatever the case may be? But in your case and the thing, and what we're talking about today, it just goes to prove that the more active we can be, within reason, you know, but the more active we can be, it prevents things. You know, I've known people that have had the issues with fibromyalgia, and because if they moved, that it hurt, but then they learned that even I'm sitting here being still and I still hurt, that some of the effects, you know, of those issues were alleviated by simply overcoming the pain to be mobile, and it would lessen the pain. Now, I, you know, I don't know enough about that, you know, to say, you know, do, you know, be mobile, be active. But what I've seen more and more is, you know, having worked with people, you know, especially elderly people, that they've reversed some of the effects of what was thought to be arthritis by training, by working out, by being active, by being, you know, by walking. And
they're the hardest ones to convince, because there's a young girl in my building. She's only 26 years old, and she's got bad back pain, so much so that they're considering putting like some sort of an electronic stim in her spine with a battery pack. And I said, you need to get a personal trainer. You need to get to the gym. You need to start training. And she goes, I don't have the energy or the tolerance of pain to train. And it's hard to explain to somebody that the pain will actually go away from doing something that they attribute the pain to.
Right. Well, and I think, I mean, there's certainly cases where, you know, there's been enough trauma, the injury is bad enough, whatever the case may be, that it is a preventative. And I understand that. But I would think, and in my experience, by and large, it requires an investment of time. If you have an injury, say someone with a back injury, you have to go slow. You have to be prudent. You have to be patient and methodical and build up strength and build up endurance and build up mobility. But I've seen people that, you know, I had a client that had a hip replacement, and within a few months, he was squatting 135 pounds to a 12-inch box. He was leg pressing several hundred pounds, you know, where prior to that he had to have the hip surgery. So, you know, you remember an old training partner and friend of mine, Chuck Forsman, before he passed away, he dislocated both of his quads squatting. A year later, he squatted the weight that injured him to a 12-inch box that I built for him for his rehab. And so, you know, that kind of injury, I mean, he walked with a cane for a very long time, you know, because his knees simply weren't strong and stable, and it was a full year. But he came back and squatted that weight that, you know, that injured him. And he was in his early 50s when that happened, you know, so he wasn't a young man that had a, you know, a catastrophic injury that came back. This was a, you know, a guy that was, he was probably 50 or 51 when he had that injury, and a year later, you know, came back to squat that weight. So it's one of those things where you do have to invest the time. You have to be prudent. You have to be patient. But the big thing, the thing that I will tell you over and over and over, you know, the person that's consistent is the, you know, is the one that's going to come out ahead.
Yeah. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about another phenomenon that you start to notice as you get older. Maybe you don't, but I do. And there's days where you show up at the gym, you don't feel that strong, but all of a sudden, once you start training, you find out you're strong anyway. So learning to train anyway, even though you don't think you're going to be able to do the work, quite often you surprise yourself. So let's talk about that when you come back, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Supreme Radio.
This is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan horse.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New MassPro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. MassPro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. This show is of great interest to anyone who's aging out there. Oh, wait a minute. You're all aging. That's right. You may not think this show is important today. You may come back and listen to it 5 years from now, 10 years from now, because you will age. And you'll want to keep doing this. You know, I had Dr. Fred Hatfield on the show yesterday.
That's great. Fred's great.
Oh, he is great. And, you know, he's in his late 70s now. And, right. You know, his training is more sporadic, you know. And he still squats and he still deadlifts. But, you know, when you listen to the guy and you say to yourself, this guy's almost 80 years old and he's sharp as a tack. His memory recall is unparalleled. You can't help but think some of it is because of how hard he's trained his entire life. So this is an important topic for those of you out there. I don't care if you ever have the desire to compete or lift, break personal records. Staying strong as you age is critical, and it's not a given anymore because we're not hunter-gatherers anymore. We sit more than we do anything else. So there are days where I show up at the gym. And I got to be honest here. So I got to share something. One of the things that using back in 2005, one of the things that using anabolic steroids did for me, of course, they made me feel sick all the time. I had terrible side effects. I could never be a pro bodybuilder. And especially drugs like trenbolone and Anthate. They make you feel terrible. You feel like you have a flu every second of the day. It just won't come on. But I would show up at the gym and I would lift weights that I couldn't lift before. And obviously, what this did for me was it made me realize that just because you walk into the gym and feel like 2 pounds of dog poo poo doesn't mean that it's going to be a bad workout. A lot of people don't show up at the gym because they wake up in the morning and they think, oh, you know, I just don't feel good. This is probably a bad idea. And I don't mean you got a cold. I don't mean, oh, you know for sure you got a fever or a cold or something like that. I mean you wake up in the morning. Part of the aging process sometimes is poor sleep. But then you astonish yourself. You go in there and you do the work. You go, oh, my God. If someone would have asked me before I showed up how I thought this workout was going to be, 1 to 10, 10 being the best, and this is a 7, I would have said, no, it's probably going to be a 3. So what about that? Do you struggle with that yourself?
Yeah, I will tell you this, and the people that I coach – you know, especially the group that I train in the morning that are built of competitors, I'll tell them, you know, I don't care how you feel. Strength, as far as performance goes, as far as competing goes, I don't care how you feel. I care how you execute. If you get in here and you warm up, because we're consistent, we come in here, we know Monday we're going to bench, we know Tuesday we're going to squat, I don't care how you feel. You don't have to feel good to be strong. You have to be able to execute. And, you know, and there are, as you do get older, you know, you kind of get up and you're like, you know, my shoulder is a little iffy today, you know, but I take the time to warm up. And I have surprised myself, and I'll use myself as an example. Wes and I had been training. He competed early in the year. He deadlifted 570. And in training, I had pulled 615, you know, which for me is a pretty decent pull. It's nowhere near my best, but I was training and seeing progress, you know, every few months. And then I had that injury right before Relentless, and I missed a 600, it was 272 and a half kilos. I think that's 600.7, 600.8. You know, I didn't expect to have it, but I went in and gave it a shot anyway. Well, because I was so injured, when I started preparing for this strongman competition, one of the things that we were doing was a max deadlift. It was a last man standing deadlift. And so, having been so injured, I hadn't pulled anything from the floor but 500 pounds during my training. But I had done a bunch of block pulls as part, you know, trying to stay strong and use weight. And my expectation was just to kind of stay with the competition, because all I wanted to do at that competition was qualify for nationals. But I ended up winning the competition by deadlifting 635 pounds with room to spare. And nobody, if you would have said, especially, you know, when I left Minnesota, that, hey, you know, in 8 weeks you'll deadlift 635, I'd have told you were out of your mind, as bad as I felt. But I literally had not deadlifted more than 500 pounds from the floor. I had gone heavier from the blocks, and I had been doing repetition work. But on a day that I was concerned about just staying together and qualifying, you know, that's the most I've pulled since I totaled 2400 6 years ago. And so it's one of those things where you can always surprise yourself, and I think that's the payoff of being consistent. You're injured. Well, what it's not what I can't do, what can I do? Mm-hmm. What is going to allow me to be consistent? And then, and again, I think, just to reiterate and review, I think the warm-up process, you know, you got to allow a little more time, you know, than you did. I mean, I have to do it, you know, more than I did even 5 years ago. I have to spend another, you know, 10 minutes or so just making sure everything is warm. And, you know, once I get that blood flow, usually the first set of anything I do that involves the shoulder, it hurts a little bit. But then once I get going, you know, I start feeling better and I'm able to train.
So we have 6 minutes left. So I guess the bottom line of this is, it should be important to you, man or woman. Women, this should actually be a more important message for women, because strength comes easier to men, but it's probably more important for women as they age. And I'll just go on the record of saying that. So I would say that you are a subscriber to the notion, I want to stay as strong as I can for as long as I can.
That's been my mantra. You know, I mean, it's not just a philosophy. It's an absolute way of life for me. I want to be as strong as I can for as long as I can be, you know, and I, you know, to push my people, you know, I'm not just there barking at them. I'm in the gym chalking up, taping up. I'm putting on my, you know, my shoes. I'm, you know, bracing up, muscle rub, whatever the case may be. You know, they're in the trenches, and I'm right there with them. And I intend to do that. You know, if I'm 80, if I live to be 80, and I can walk down those steps to the gym, I'm gonna be down there. I can assure you of that. And that, you know, that's just the drive to do it. But for the person that just wants to be fit, you got to put that time in. You know, and there's no way around it. You have to be consistent, and you have to make that investment.
I've actually become bored with the term fitness, because there's all different things to be fit for. So this term fitness has lost any meaning at all. I think that people need to be more specific with what they their expectations from their body are. Like,
well,
like you just
that.
Said, I want to be strong. I want to be able to execute these heavy movements as I age. But I also want to be maybe able to run up two flights of stairs. I mean, I think that this terminology fitness has lost any meaning, and that's a problem because there are people who swear they're fit, but then they get into a little jam in life. You know, I don't know, their car breaks down, they've got to walk 2 miles to the nearest gas station. There's no other option. Or those poor people trying to exit a skyscraper that happens to be on fire, and all they have to do is walk down, and I'm being facetious, all they have to do is walk down the stairs of like 90 floors, right? It's probably 180 flights of stairs. They have to walk down that to save their own lives, and they collapse on a landing, and they go, I just can't go anymore. I can't walk down these stairs any further. I can't. Gravity is actually helping me. I can't do this. So fitness, the word fitness needs to be abolished, and we need to start to quantify. When people talk about things, they need to go to their personal trainers, and they have to quantify what their expectations are. I can't jog right now. I want to be able to jog a mile, and I want to be able to bench press 135 pounds. And establish what your goals are for fitness and shoot for those.
I agree. All my clients, we quantify the goals. We create, you know, here's what we want to do, here's what we want to achieve, or this is what we're training for, whether it be a sport or a specific event. And then we map out, you know, and get the wheels turning on how we're going to achieve that end goal.
Go ahead and give your plug your websites again, Coach.
You can find me on Facebook and the Ogre Compound, which is the gym that we train at and that I own, on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at team_ogre_powerlifting. You can always reach me via email at teamogre@outlook.com. And then I've got the old supersquat800@yahoo.com.
Yeah, I mean, that email address has been around since I've known you.
For a long time.
Yeah, Super Squat. And I always just say to you, well, when are you going to make it Super Squat 1,040? But I guess leaving it at 800 was more important.
Yeah.
You know.
All right,
listen, I want to thank you very much.
Sure.
And you always bail me out when we lose a guest at the last minute, but
valuable
discussion.
To do it.
Very, very valuable. All right, I'll talk to you later soon. Okay.
Thanks. All right, man. Thanks for having me, Carl.
Okay. And we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Dr. Jens Walter about bifidobacteria. Very, very important probiotic emerging in science, having some correlates to aging better and also preventing some forms of obesity. But just taking it may not be the answer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Fit Read Nutrition understands that getting in shape can be difficult, whether it's getting to the gym or maintaining a proper diet for a busy lifestyle. Weight and fitness can often be forgotten. That's why they've created customized meal plans plus fitness programs that can help support your specific goals to get fit and eat healthy. Even during vacations and special events, they offer support via text and email to keep clients motivated, with coaches providing detailed support. Go to fitreadnutrition.com today to learn more.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ketones are being called the fourth macronutrient because the body loves to use them for energy. Now you can leverage the hunger-fighting, mood-elevating effects of ketones with Keto OS. Take one package in the morning and don't eat again until you're hungry. You won't feel lethargic and you'll be alert and focused. Try Keto OS today. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Keto OS banner ad to take advantage of the 5-day experience trial package. Leverage the power of ketones with Keto OS.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Okay, so on to the topic at hand. Bifidobacteria has become very popular. We've done interviews about this interesting microbe. It seems to be abundant in mother's milk. It seems to have a correlate to better aging and a variety of other things. And a lot of people are running out, and they're taking bifidobacteria supplements. But that may not be producing the results that they want. My next guest is Dr. Jens Walter. How you doing, Dr. Walter?
I am very good. How are you?
Good, good, and welcome. You just published a study, Stable Colonization of Probiotic Bifidobacterium Depends on Individualized Gut Microbiome as far as its stability. So why this study? What questions needed to be answered?
So when I got approached by a company to do this study, the main objective was actually to establish safety in human, as in adult human individuals, because the strain was developed as a probiotic, and one of the first steps is to establish safety. But I'm a microbial ecologist, so I'm interested in viewing the microbiome, so these microbial populations we have in our gut as an ecosystem. So I was interested in actually looking how our resident microbiome interacts with an incoming probiotic strain. And so, and this is, I was successful to convince the company who funded the research that this is a worthwhile, you know, question to ask. So for me, the big question was really, you know, why do probiotic organisms that we've currently on the market, why don't they establish in the human gut? And I thought the answer to this would be in the resident microbiome. I have to add to this, I was not expecting that this strain would actually persist for half a year. So this really caught us by surprise. But of course, it still made the study possible, and actually it made the study a lot more fascinating, actually, for us. Yeah.
Well, so I think this is really interesting. So there's a nuance here that we just kind of skipped over, and that is so many of us take probiotics. I take a very well-studied one. They are not sponsors of the show. It's called VSL number 3. Mm-hmm. But I've just assumed that I take it with prebiotic fiber and food, and that it's going to colonize and provide some sort of support to my gut microbes. I don't want it all riding out of me on the other end with the food that I'm eating. So you're saying that there is question prior to your research on this particular microbe, there is question about whether any of these microbes actually take root when we
There was actually quite a consensus in the probiotic literature that they actually don't colonize and that they don't persist. Yeah, and I think that the reason for this is that most of the probiotic bacteria that are currently on the market have been selected more for, you know, historical reasons and safety reasons, and you know, their ability to be produced, you know, in high numbers in big fermenters, you know, because this is necessary to produce them, you know, as a probiotic. But to be really successful in colonizing an ecosystem, you know, the criteria, you know, should be that they are a key component of this actual community. And this is another thing that that motivated me to do our studies. Our study is with a Bifidobacterium longum, which is a species that we know very well now is a key component of the human gastrointestinal tract. So we were really introducing one of the key players of the human microbiome into humans, and that is probably the reason, or one reason, why it actually persisted in a subset of the human individuals. While many probiotic, or most probiotic products on the market, they are not, the bacteria in these products are not key members of the ecosystem. And then there might be other problems, you know, that these bacteria, of course, often have been in laboratories for, you know, many years. They have been in industrial settings for many years. So basically, they might have been, you know, adapted to very different conditions and conditions that are different, you know, to your gastrointestinal tract. So if you now take them, you know, they don't persist anymore. But clear cut, to come back to your question, the consensus in the field before our study was really that probiotic bacteria just don't persist. That does, of course, not mean that they not necessarily have a health effect, you know, because they could well have a health effect through a different mechanism that is not relating for them to persist or modulate, you know, the gut gut microbiome. But from an ecological standpoint, they are definitely just passengers.
You know, and I was going to say that. I don't want people to throw their probiotics away, because taking probiotics with meals has been shown to help the digestive process. So there's an intrinsic value and an extrinsic value to probiotics. The first is obviously part of the digestion of food. But the extrinsic value, which so many of us think we're achieving when we take probiotics, is that they inhabit our gut and they change the environment of our gut, sometimes better and sometimes worse. They can affect everything from energy utilization to hormonal production. We know that L-Reuteri is closely linked to the production of oxytocin and vice versa. We know that there are microbes in our gut that correlate with estrogen in women. I mean, so don't be discouraged if it's not planting itself, because it's definitely doing something for the digestive process. But let's be honest. The reason most of us take probiotics isn't just for digestion. We want to colonize our guts. And so before we get into your study, you've opened up just a Pandora's box of questions for me that I have to get out of the way first. So these microbes, these are living things. The way I've talked about them on the show in the past is they eat the things we eat, and their excrement either has a benefit to us physiologically and biologically, or a deficit. They can produce harm. And so these microbes are living things. I've always wondered, how do they stay alive in a powder, in a capsule on a shelf someplace for 7 months? Don't they have to eat something to stay alive?
No, this is the characteristic of bacteria. So if they are freeze dried, and then in a very dried form, they can be very stable, yeah, over actually years. And the powder that we used in our study, you know, was also stable, you know, for the entire duration. And of course, we are microbiologists, so we do actually check. You've probably heard that, you know, not all probiotic products on the market, you know, contain the bacteria that they promise, and they don't contain the numbers that they promise. But
right.
if it's a good, reliable, you know, producer of probiotics, it is not that hard. It also depends again on the bacterium. You know, some bacteria are impossible to become stable, but most probiotic bacteria, you know, if you freeze dry them, actually, we store them in the laboratory for decades. You know, so the bacterial strains we work with in research, you know, have been frozen and freeze dried and stuff, and yeah, this works without problems.
So, should these powders be refrigerated as a minimum step for preserving the quality of the probiotics in commercial sales settings?
Actually, it really depends on the product.
Okay.
I would just follow what these companies tell you. I've seen powders that are stable at room temperature. And I've also seen powders that have to be refrigerated or even frozen. So it really depends on the bacterium that is in this product.
Okay. So the I want to take our first commercial break, and when we come back, I want to start talking about your research specifically. How's that sound?
Very good. Thank you.
So we're going to take one quick break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. It's going to get really interesting.
The Category Killer just got upgraded in a big way. New MassPro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. MassPro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse Can-See Eye Drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how Can-See Eye Drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Ketones are being called the fourth macronutrient because the body loves to use them for energy. Now you can leverage the hunger-fighting, mood-elevating effects of ketones with Keto OS. Take one package in the morning and don't eat again until you're hungry. You won't feel lethargic and you'll be alert and focused. Try Keto OS today. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Keto OS banner ad to take advantage of the 5-day experience trial package. Leverage the power of ketones with Keto OS.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Jens Walter. He is the chairperson at University of Alberta in the Nutrition, Microbe, and Gastroenterology Health Department. And we're talking about taking a probiotic, Bifidobacterium. Actually, the Bifidobacterium longum is in Thrive Advanced protein powder because it's something that's found in mother's milk as well. So it is interesting to us. So talk about your study. How was this study designed, Dr. Walter?
So the study was designed as a placebo-controlled crossover design, and the reason for that was because we were interested in safety, and we determined, you know, the symptoms in these individuals, and to make a, you know, statement on how safe the probiotic is, we needed a placebo controller. So the subjects, and we had 24 subjects in the beginning, and then one dropped out for unrelated reasons, and then we assigned them either to the probiotic or to the placebo, and then we, after a 1 to 3 week washout period, we basically switched them around so that the group that had first the probiotic got the placebo, and vice versa. And then the subjects, you know, did symptoms diaries, and we collected fecal samples to look for the actual bacterium. And then while we are analyzing, we used the fecal samples basically to characterize their bacterial populations in the fecal samples, which is at least a proxy for the bacterial populations that we have in the gut.
I want to ask you a question about this. So do you do that by measuring the amount that they're ingesting, measuring the amount that's coming out in fecal samples, and then trying to deduce from that that some portion of it is not being excreted?
So, no, what we do is we know exactly what we give, and it's quite a bit. You know, it's 10 to the, you know, 9 bacteria. And then we do this for 2 weeks, and then, of course, we stop giving these bacteria, and then we continue to collect fecal samples, you know, weeks and even months after the study. And in normal probiotic, or in virtually all the probiotic studies in the literature, you know, after 1 or 2 weeks, you just don't detect that probiotic anymore, because, you know, it's washed out. It doesn't persist. Yeah. And in our study, the findings were very different. We actually could continue and detect this bacterium. And we did this by different methods. You know, we did sequencing and culture. And so we had a very specific polymerase chain reaction, approach, as to make really sure that we are actually specifically detecting this bacteria that we were actually giving to these individuals.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay, so talk about your findings.
So what happened, so as I said, it was a crossover trial, you know, so, and we did the symptoms diaries, and the symptoms is easy to describe. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Also the people did not experience any negative, you know, effects. There was no flatulence, there was no bloating, so the probiotic didn't do anything bad. And then we measured the probiotic strain using this PCR approach, and then we just realized, you know, that in some of the subjects, it actually persisted throughout the entire 28 days of one of the treatment arms. And then we realized that in 3 of the subjects that consumed the probiotics in the first treatment arm, it actually continued to persist in the second, as in the placebo arm. So there was basically a carryover effect. And that was really where we said, okay, this is really not what we expected. So to test how long persistence is, we actually recruited these subjects back and collected fecal samples at 11 weeks and 20 weeks after the completion of the studies and did the measurements again. And then again, in most of these individuals in which the probiotic persisted, it still persisted at 10 and 20 weeks. So the key message is that even after half a year, the probiotic strain was still detectable in the fecal samples of around 34% of the subjects.
Wow, that is astonishing. So that leads you to the title of your study about individualization. So clearly, some people tend to be better hosts for this particular microbe, and some maybe not as good. Were there any clues to why, what? For instance, did everyone have to take their probiotic along with food? And did you specify what kind of food, like prebiotic type fibers, like leeks and onions and stuff like that?
We did not. We did not specify this at all, actually. And the reason for this is that in the field, it's, as we discussed, you know, it's well known that probiotics don't persist. You know, we were simply not, you know, expecting any persistence, and therefore we also weren't expecting any significant, you know, importance of the actual diet of the individuals. Now, in hindsight, it would probably have been a good idea, and, you know, I'm in a nutrition department, so we do this regularly, you know, that we monitor the diet of individuals, you know, very, very tightly. But in this study, we simply didn't expect it, and this is why we didn't do it.
Interesting. So that would be one question I would want to ask, obviously. Now, what you said, 10 to the 7, is that billions per dose?
I've actually just looked it up. So the daily dose was actually 10 to the 10. And that should be something like a trillion or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
No, I don't. As microbiologists, we always just think in logarithmic scales.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So now, which leads me to this next question. So today, probiotics are a very, very hot seller because so many people have GI issues today. They're being sold and touted as if you have belly fat, it may not be belly fat. You may just need a probiotic. I mean, the silly stuff that they're doing today with probiotics. But most of these probiotics, if anything, they are maybe 10 billion CFUs, 15 billion, you know. I mean, VSL number 3 comes in a over-the-counter and prescription strength. The over-the-counter is 450 billion CFUs. The prescription strength is 1 trillion CFUs. So basically the dose that you're talking about. And very few probiotic, commercially available probiotic supplements out there even come close to that. What about the dose? Are people wasting their time? Granted, I understand that you didn't expect colonization at all, but could the lack of colonization simply be it's like throwing a handful of grass seeds on a soccer field and expecting to see that change?
I mean, the dose is definitely a possibility, but I would say that at least in the you know studies that were conducted previously, there were all kind of doses being used, you know, sometimes up to 10 to the 11, which would be, you know, almost a trillion, yeah? So I agree with you that some of the studies might have used too low of a dose, but in the literature, you know, there are virtually hundreds of probiotic studies, really none of which have shown any persistence, and they have used a whole range of different doses. So I wouldn't say that dose is not important, but I don't think that it's the main reason for why we haven't seen persistence in the past.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So staying with this topic just for a second longer, Bifidobacterium itself seems to be of great interest. Have you done research into this particular microbe? There's a lot of new information coming out that's trying to correlate it with longevity. Better aging, if you will, that and L. roteri, but Bifidobacterium longum has been recent. And then there's another study that we talked about a few months ago that shows that these microbes show up in tissue, and women who had higher Bifidobacterium longum in their breast tissue were less susceptible to breast cancer. I don't know if you saw that study.
I did see it, yeah.
Yeah, so Can you talk a little bit about this particular bacteria and why it is so interesting to us?
The reason why I'm fascinated in bifidobacteria is because I consider them, you know, a real integral part of the human microbiome and a bacterial species, you know, that truly co-evolved with us as humans. And in this, you know, evolutionary process, it probably, which is to some degree speculative, but it's likely to have evolved, you know, certain traits that actually benefits us as human. And one of the most fascinating aspects of this is actually human breast milk, which contains a lot of, you know, complex carbohydrates, which around 1% of these, you know, complex human, we call them human oligosaccharides. And these oligosaccharides are completely useless for the infant. Yeah. So it's a fascinating concept. So as humans, we've wasted 1% of the carbohydrates in milk without any nutritional benefit to the infant. And we know now that they are there for a reason to support, you know, health promoting bacteria very early in life. And the main bacterial group that actually benefits from these human milk oligosaccharides are bifidobacteria. So for me, this is a real clear example, you know, that nature, you know, has mechanism in place to specifically enrich for this particular bacterial group. And you're right, in elderly individuals, as with age, the actually levels of bifidobacteria decrease. If that has any health consequences or not, if this is something that there is active research ongoing, I would say this, the jury is still out on it, but there's definitely a rationale at the moment to actually try and, you know, boost bifidobacterial levels in the elderly and see if this actually has any, you know, beneficial effects. So that's my motivation or why I actually really like this bacterial group.
Yeah, I've become very intrigued in its research recently as well, and considering making sure that I'm getting enough of it in my diet. But what I'd like to do is take a break, and when we come back, I want to ask you, did you notice anything different about the people who seem to sustain the effects of supplementation longer? Anything at all about their guts that would maybe give rise to us understanding why they seem to benefit for a longer period of time? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Fit Read Nutrition understands that getting in shape can be difficult, whether it's getting to the gym or maintaining a proper diet for a busy lifestyle. Weight and fitness can often be forgotten. That's why they've created customized meal plans plus fitness programs that can help support your specific goals to get fit and eat healthy. Even during vacations and special events, they offer support via text and email to keep clients motivated, with coaches providing detailed support. Go to fitreadnutrition.com today to learn more.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Jens Walter from the University of Alberta. This is really very fascinating, Dr. Walter, because so many of us take probiotics today, and I don't think many people give any thought to what they're actually doing for us, if anything. I'm astonished that the probiotic industry, so to speak, doesn't think that they colonize. I mean, that's just telling right there. So was there anything unique about the individuals, this 36% or 34% of the individuals that seemed to see a persistence in the evidence of the supplementation all those months later? Anything about them at all? And, you know, I keep coming back to diet, but how about just the baseline of their guts?
And that's exactly what we looked at, yeah. And this is also, you know, what the title, you know, says, that it's individual features of their resident microbiome. So it's for me as a microbial ecologist, the finding was actually quite, you know, satisfactory, because it is very much according to ecological theory. So what happened was that in individuals in which the bacterium persisted, these individuals had a lower amount of exactly the species Bifidobacterium longum. As a meaning that if you don't have a certain microbe, it seems to be possible to actually reestablish this microbe. While in individuals who had Bifidobacterium longum, I mentioned that it's a core member of the human microbiome, which means in a majority of individuals you find very high numbers of it. So in individuals who had already a lot of Bifidobacterium longum, the strain could actually not establish. And I said this is according to ecological theory, you know, because this is long known that, you know, that species that are closely related with each other actually compete more with each other, you know, because they have the same or more similar, you know, requirements to actually be successful in a certain habitat. So it's basically classic competitive exclusion. If you have an organism, you can't establish the same organism, and if it's not there, or if it's there in lower number, it can actually be established.
Okay, but I'm confused about something, and maybe it's because I didn't understand something you said before. So the way you determined whether or not it was still present and persistent was through stool samples, right?
That is correct.
Okay, yeah. So what is different about the endogenous Bifidobacterium in the established gut that it doesn't get excreted, but yet when you reestablish it using a probiotic supplement, all of a sudden you see its presence? Because what you're saying is, look, if you already have a lot of Bifidobacterium in your gut, taking more is not going to have any type of persistent value because you've already got a lot. And so if you don't have a lot now and you take it, you see these evidence of persistence. So was the evidence just a shift in the baseline, or were there actually absolute amounts of bifidobacterium coming out in the stool samples of people who were supplemented and not the ones that showed persistence, which would say, well, the bifidobacterium that was in their gut doesn't come out in stool for some reason.
So you have to, one thing is, so we did look in the baseline microbiome. So that is, so we had fecal samples, you know, before the individuals actually started the study. So this was our sample we were interested in because we asked the question, you know, is the resident community, you know, somehow, you know, determining who actually allows persistence and who is not. And now an important thing, you've just said, look, the resident bifidos, are they not, you know, excreted? Every single bacterium in the human gut is excreted to the fecal samples, you know, because these are bacteria. We're basically something like a continuous fermenter because there is stuff coming in and these bacteria, you know, replicate. And to some degree, you know, they have to go somewhere because if they are metabolically active and they replicate, you know, and they couldn't go anywhere, you know, the system would basically explode. Yeah.
Right.
So what that means is that every single bacterium in the gut is to some degree excreted but the population persists as long as it replicates faster than it is actually excreted. So In our study, both the resistant Bifidobacterium longum is excreted and the strain that we introduced is excreted. And our techniques, our sequencing techniques are powerful enough that we can differentiate between the probiotic strain and the resident microbiome.
This makes perfect sense. Now I understand. So there was space available to inhabit in some people's guts, and there wasn't in other people's guts for this particular microbe. Now, the next question that I would have, and I'm sure that you're interested in this answer as well, is what effect does that have on people who had low status and they were reestablished into a higher status? What changed about their physiology, about their biology, anything? I wouldn't imagine. Was any of that looked at? Blood?
I mean, this is exactly what we didn't look at. You know, I mean, this is, it's a purely ecological study that we did and a safety study. So our experimental design, we was simply not accommodating for that. So we didn't look for that. But you're completely right. The future, I think the findings are very exciting because if you think about it, you know, certain human diseases, or if we take antibiotics or something like this, are associated, you know, with the certain lack of certain health-promoting bacteria. So you take antibiotics, you know, you lose a bacterium, or you have a disease, you know, in which this bacterium is not represented. Now our studies, although we haven't looked at it, but they at least imply or suggest that it might be possible that if we select this probiotic, you know, well, and if we take, you know, ecological criteria, and if we, you know, use exactly the bacterium that is present in healthy individual as a core member, we might be able to introduce this back or reintroduce it into individuals in which they actually have, as that have lost this bacterium. So although we haven't really looked at it, I do think our work kind of sets the, you know, fundamental basis that might actually be possible in the future. However, for this to be successful, the probiotic strains have to be very systematically, you know, selected and targeted against a certain, you know, disease state or to a certain disease that you might want to prevent with this probiotic.
Yeah, no, this is interesting. And you know, fecal transplants kind of shed light on what the future of probiotic supplementation may hold in store for us. We've talked about fecal transplants over the years, and obviously there are now companies that are actually taking fecal matter and extracting the microbes from it and purifying and sterilizing and then enterically coating it so that it gets down deeper into the intestines before it opens up. There's research with things like that right now, which that's why. One of the things I find fascinating about this discussion is that we just assume that because some company sells us a probiotic supplement, that they've done the research to find out if that is in fact a normal inhabitant of the human gut. And I just assumed that they were. So what about Lactobacillus acidophilus, which is used in the culturing of dairy products? Do we even know that that's something that can colonize our guts, or is that just a digestive aid and nothing more than that?
I mean, I've actually involved in a study on Lactobacillus acidophilus, and we only saw persistence for probably around a week.
Which tells you that it's not a normal inhabitant, right? I mean, it just...
That is, yeah. And we also, you know, we have these, you know, the microbiome research field, you know, has these big, you know, sequencing projects, you know, of nation sequencing projects where we know very well now what is the human microbiome. And no, Lactobacillus acidophilus is not a key member of this ecosystem. I think what the field... So you can often isolate these lactobacilli from human fecal samples, but the problem is you can't differentiate, you know, and in the old studies that was very rarely been done to differentiate, you know, what is actually really a gut inhabitant and what comes, you know, for example, from the oral cavity or from fermented foods. So because if you eat lactobacilli and what, you know, like we've done, you know, they pop up in the fecal sample again. So in my opinion, individuals have too often, you know, just cultured from fecal samples, have found certain bacteria and have just assumed, you know, now they are members of the gut ecosystem, not taking into consideration, you know, that they might actually have come from the oral cavity or that they might even have come from an exogenous source. So with something like Lactobacillus acidophilus, I don't think that it's a member of the human gut.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. And you know, and this really harkens back to the insight that you provided us with about human breast milk. We know that these oligosaccharides are in there. I never realized that they didn't provide any real nutritive value to the baby. In fact, they probably provide nutritive value to the bifidobacterium.
And yeah, that's exactly the dominant sugar in breast milk is lactose. That provides value, but there's 1% of these very complex. It's hundreds of different carbohydrates. It's a fascinating field, and they do not provide any value to the infant. And it seems to be something specific to human evolution, because in cow milk, actually, there are much, much lower levels of these complex carbohydrates. So it's really an intrinsic, you know, factor or an intrinsic characteristic of human biology, you know, that we have, you know, almost, yeah, natural prebiotics, if you want to call them
yeah.
that way.
Yeah. I want to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you about diet influencing microbes, because I'm sure that you can give us some great information about that. This is a fascinating discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Coupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending, Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains.
Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N labs.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
We really cannot learn enough about the microbiome at this point in time. It's really the wild, wild west of health, uncharted territory. We're learning. Companies like Ubiome are putting people's microbiome indexing it at their fingertips now. But what does it mean? At this point in time, we really don't know. We're talking with Dr. Jens Walter from the University of Alberta. So, Dr. Walter, the ketogenic diet is emerging as a very popular diet for a variety of reasons. Weight loss, it's been approved by the Food and Drug Administration here in the United States for treating epilepsy. It is making amazing strides in oncology as an adjunct therapy, as well as when people, for whatever reason, choose not to use the standard of care in treating certain cancers, especially brain tumors. We know that the reason the ketogenic diet works is it's a very, very high-fat diet, but it differs from the standard American diet in that it is extremely low in carbohydrates and moderately high in protein. But it's really, you know, anywhere from 1-to-1 ratio of fat to combined protein and carbohydrates to therapeutic diets of 4-to-1, 4 grams of fat to 1 gram of combined protein and carbohydrates, keeping carbohydrates down well below 60 grams a day, sometimes 40 and even less than that. We know that when you eat this type of a diet, over a period of time, microbial diversity changes, and it shifts towards microbes that seem to be able to actually produce butyrate, which ends up being ketones to fuel the body. The way I understand it is it takes two different microbes. One eats some of the fat, and its excrement feeds another microbe that ends up producing butyrate. I don't know if that's accurate. That's just something that I've heard loosely. So what about the role of diet on diversity and presence of some of these microbes?
So a very low carbohydrate diet would actually probably result in lower levels of butyrate. And the reason for that is that carbohydrates, of course, contain dietary fiber, and as long as they are not completely refined. And dietary fiber, you know, reach the large intestine, and there it gets utilized by the microbes, and the microbes, you know, degrade these dietary fibers, and the final metabolic end products are short-chain fatty acids. such as butyrate. So this is pretty well established. I'm not there. Clearly, some amino acids also get transformed into butyrate, but by lowering the amount of carbohydrates, it's definitely a lowering in the amount of short chain fatty acids and the amount of butyrate. For me, one thing to consider if you think about your gut microbiome and diet is this, that 100 trillion bacteria in your gut are to 99.9% in your large intestine. So a refined diet which is protein and just, you know, simple sugars or starch, you know, is to a large degree digested in the small intestine, as where there are very, very few bacteria or comparably few bacteria, so definitely 1,000 times less. So as we basically absorb most of the simple nutrients, you know, that are made for us, we absorb them and the bacteria don't see most of these. Dietary fiber is a very different story because dietary fiber is not digested by us. We don't have the enzymes to actually digest dietary fiber. So what happens is the dietary fiber makes it into the large intestine where most of the bacteria are, and the bacteria actually, you know, ferment it into the, you know, butyrate and other short chain fatty acids that you've just mentioned. And this is one of the reasons why gut microbiologists normally look very favorable on dietary fiber and you know, if you want to call them prebiotics, you can also call them prebiotics, but prebiotic in, to some degree is really just a dietary fiber. But the idea is really that as gut microbiologists, we do like the idea to actually enhance human nutrition by boosting dietary fiber levels.
Can we take that too far? I mean, nowadays people are looking towards Paleolithic times and going, well, our ancestors ate 150 grams of fiber a day. I think it was Dr. Leslie Aiello at the Wenner Gren Foundation told me that this was a mistake, that people pushing their fiber too high up, that we actually, through evolution, refined our digestive process not to have to handle that much fiber. You think people are pushing fiber too far nowadays?
Yeah, I would like to see research being done. You know, and not I have a major interest in dietary fiber, and I would like to see you know, clinical studies being done that are more, you know, at higher levels, and looking, you know, at these more evolutionary doses, well knowing, you know, that the outcome might not be you know, as beneficial as I hypothesize it, but I would at least like to see the research being done. I do not think that our digestive tract has, you know, readjusted to a refined diet, and simply because there's not enough time for this. If you think, you know, over human history, you know, we've ate a lot of dietary fiber, and we had, you know, there was no refined, you know, grains until probably 100 years ago, you know, when milling was basically developed. And now we suddenly, you know, within, you know, one century, we switched to an almost completely fiberless diet. There is simply not enough time, you know, for us to actually readjust our physiology. So I still think that human physiology is still adapted to a high fiber diet, and we just don't get a high fiber diet anymore. If we can push it too much, that's definitely possible. But without the research being done, it's just speculation.
Yeah, this is really fascinating stuff. And the other thing I want to just come back to. So it sounds to me that if someone is eating specifically a high fat, extremely low carbohydrate, moderately low protein diet in order to get into ketosis, that fiber needs to be consumed in order to create the fuel to create butyrate.
I actually was very, you raise exactly the right question. So I was actually, when I started at the University of Alberta, I was thinking it would be a fascinating, so for me, to take one step back, so the low carbohydrate diet and the high fat, high protein diet, I completely agree with you. No, it's proven, it has metabolic benefits, it is good for weight loss, all of these things. But what I wonder with these diets is, you know, in terms of the microbiome, they are probably detrimental, you know, in a long term, you know, because high fat, you know, results in more secondary bile acids, which are probably contributing to colon cancer. And there is a clear correlation between high fat and colon cancer. And then too much protein is also considered metabolically detrimental. So what I thought would be fascinating is actually to combine one of these low-carb diet with all its short-term, you know, metabolic benefits with a high, you know, dose of fiber to actually induce, you know, all kind of the, as we said, the metabolic benefits that we get through bacterial fermentation in the colon. So you raise exactly the right thing, but I don't think that study has been done yet, and we are also not currently doing this kind of study, although it would be fascinating.
So what's your fiber of choice? I mean, there's glucomannan out there that's very, very popular. There's obviously, when we talk about dietary fiber, we're talking about digestion-resistant starches, basically, right? So what's your fiber of choice, you think, for human beings?
So I actually, I don't know, you know, because I don't think the research has been done, or at least not to my liking. So we're currently conducting a study in which we actually compare different dietary fibers and we look for their actual metabolic benefits and, you know, how this is related to the microbiome. And the motivation for the study is to a large degree, you know, because I don't really, you know, or let's say the information that is out there is a bit incomplete. Yeah, I think there is very good evidence for resistant starches to improve insulin sensitivity. I do like that. And then there are FDA-approved health claims, but they are more general dietary fiber. I think there's some good evidence that beta-glucans, which are very viscous, decrease or improve cholesterol levels. So there are glimpses of knowledge are out there, but I think our understanding on which specific, for my taste in the nutrition world, we are too much talking just about dietary fiber without really understanding, you know, that the dietary fiber, you know, are thousands of different chemical compounds which are likely to have very, very different effects. And I think the knowledge on this is very incomplete.
Well, we just found that out recently with IMOs, that form of oligosaccharide that was previously thought to be a digestion-resistant starch or fiber, as well as inulin, which is used in a lot of products today as a quote-unquote fiber source. And I can't think of the scientist's name, but they did some research and they showed that they actually convert to fructose in the gut, in the intestines. So that's not digestion resistance. So that's the other thing that's emerging. So now with our interest in these digestion resistant starches, we're finding out that ones that we thought were digestion resistant really aren't. And so there's
But you have to be careful. So for me, you know, inulin is digestion resistant, but it is fermentable by the microbes. So these are the two things. So one thing is digestion resistant. Resistant starches are also, they are digestion resistant, because we can't digest them. However, they are fermentable. So you will not, in most humans, you will not find resistant starch in the fecal samples because the bacteria eat it. So these are two, you know, some of them are, you know, they are simple sugars that can be digested. Then some of them are digestion resistant. And then some of them are even fermentation resistant, like cellulose, for example. They really rush through. But only because, as inulin is digestion resistant, but you're right, the bacteria in the gut, of course, love it. It's a prebiotic, yeah. And they do cut it down to fructose, but that fructose is probably not absorbed by the human host because bacteria love fructose. So I think the bacteria actually eat that and then produce short chain fatty acids from it.
Interesting. See, a lot of the food we eat it for our microbes in our gut, not for ourselves.
You know, my opinion is we don't do that enough anymore. That's because I'm in agreement with some of my colleagues, you know, which actually think that, you know, modern lifestyle with our refined diet actually led to a virtual starvation of our microbiome. You know, as we discussed, you know, we've eaten a lot of dietary fiber, you know, thousands of years ago, and now we eat virtually nothing anymore. So I think what we do in the modern world is to actually starve the microbes, and that might be associated, you know, with some of the chronic diseases that we are seeing. And one interesting, really interesting area in the gut microbiome field is actually we have studies, and I was involved in one, in two of them actually, where we look in the microbiome, you know, of uncontacted Amur Indians, also, you know, rural tribes in the Amazon rainforest that have never seen the Western world. And we did research in two tribes in Papua New Guinea, which live a very, you know, non-industrialized lifestyle. And they all eat a lot more fiber, and they all have a lot more diversity in their gut. So, and although there's still, you know, the question is this related to this increase in chronic diseases that we see in the Western world? But I do think it's a very interesting, you know, idea or hypothesis, and it might well be true, you know, that by starving these important, you know, microbial populations that are really there to benefit our health, we might actually have increased to certain, you know, chronic disease epidemics like obesity, type 2 diabetes, you know, inflammatory bowel disease, all these diseases, autoimmune diseases, you know, that have hugely increased in the last 50 or 60 or 70 years. Yeah.
And that information was concurred in the Old Order Amish gut study here in the United States. I mean, they looked at the Amish people who relatively live what could be considered an ancestral primitive type of a lifestyle, you know, with their food and everything else, and their gut microdiversity was far above.
It may make all the sense in the world if you think, you know, thousands of years, you know, we've eaten high fiber, we've actually, the bacteria live on that, and now we just take that away, you know, we basically, yeah, just starve them, and then the bacteria, you know, that were reliant on these fibers, you know, they are going to get lost. And there's a really nice study from Justin Sonnenberg from Stanford who actually compared a very low fiber diet in mice with a high fiber diet, and he really showed that they lose almost 70% of their diversity, you know.
Wow.
If you don't feed them, you know, they are not able to stay.
Last question. Do you think that if you feed them, they'll come back?
That's a really good question. I don't know. That's a really good question. It's speculation, potentially not, but of course there are still some areas in the world, you know, in which people live a non-industrial lifestyle, but these areas are declining, and it's less and less. So, but as long as these areas are still there and some Westerners go there and pick up these bacteria and bring them back, basically, they might still come back. But there's also a good possibility, you know, that that the level of separation to these population is too large, and that we actually really have to reintroduce them. Yeah. So this is now science fiction in the field, you know, because nobody has really tried that yet.
Yeah. And no one knows what needs to be reintroduced either. Listen, this has been a fascinating discussion. It went too fast. I want to thank you so very much for coming on the show today.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Take care, Dr. Walter. Also want to thank Coach Wade Johnson for coming on during the first hour and saving my skin when our guest fell out. We will do that show in the near future that looks at the role of progesterone in protecting women from getting the flu. That's going to be interesting. All right, so we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Super Human Radio. We have Casual Friday tomorrow. I'll be in the studio with the lovely and talented. Thank you for listening today. See you tomorrow.